Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3. Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I'm Darren Moser, along with particle physicist Daniel Prue. Daniel, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm glad to be here, even though I guess I'm not, shouldn't be, since, you know, we're stranded here and stuff, but my symposium is going to be for a very limited audience, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Look, at least you have two guaranteed attendees every year.
Oh, actually, I was going to go look at the rocks.
Nope. Remember, your food ration is tied to this, Philip. Yep. Okay, I'm sorry, but that's the way he set it up. Well, and I'm also joined by Head of Research and Development, Philip Gilfus, who's trying to weasel out of this year's symposium. I mean, symposiums don't come along that often,
yes,
Philip.
Yes, but weaseling out of things is what separates us from the animals. Except the weasel.
I didn't know we had animals on this planet.
What about space weasels? Yeah.
It's actually
or sweezels.
It's actually because I've managed to finally get some late showings of Marvel movies. I've been investigating the space weasels on this planet. I think one of them could be genetically engineered to be made into like a kick-ass kind of, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, so you're saying like a rocket character?
No, Daniel. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying
this
is a weasel. Completely different from any
intellectual property
that might resemble it. Yeah, so
like more like I am weasel.
No, again, that's a problematic area. I feel like this is going to be more of a missile weasel. That's sort of the working title.
Oh, missile weasel. Yes. Okay. Great. I like. Well, you know, they're kind of missile shaped already, I guess. So that kind of makes sense. Yeah. But all right.
Or weapon weasel. You get the alliteration there.
Weasel weapon.
Torpedo weasel.
See, I feel like this is going to be like a Chicago Hope ER thing with me and Darren, where we're both going to have the same idea, but go in different directions, and so.
Well, today we're not going to be talking about weapon weasels, unfortunately.
Weapon weasel. That is also a euphemism, I feel like.
That was a new Saturday morning cartoon I was watching the other day.
Yeah.
So,
for some reason, the protest groups just grew up around that one. I don't know why. But today, we are going to be talking about a well-known...
Weasel?
No. A well-known technology in the Star Trek universe. We're going to be talking about cloaks. Now, not... Harry Mudd's, you know, kind of off the shoulder, not, you know...
Wait, that's mudness,
you know, Vulcan.
Darren.
You know, yes. When you started saying Harry and we were talking about cloaks, my mind immediately went to Harry Potter, of course. So now I'm trying to picture what Harry Mudd would do with the Cloak of Invisibility. I think he'd get himself into...
What would he not do?
Yeah. I think he'd get himself into some trouble.
Let's not actually spoil the third episode of Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, that's right, when he discovers
geez.
It, yeah. In an old trunk somewhere in the basement.
You're
of the
a pirate, Harry. Mud. Anyway, no, we're going to be talking about ship cloaks, or planet cloaks, as we might get to, that appears in some...
Now, what about personal
episodes.
Cloaks? Yeah. Because a certain Gamma Quadrant species used a personal cloak an awful lot.
You're right. Yes. You're right. The
Jem'Hadar.
The Jem'Hadar, which, gosh, they must be like, how do they power that thing?
Through their belief in the Founders.
Pretty much.
White, I guess.
Well, we're going to start off with the first time we see a cloak in Star Trek, and that is Romulan cloaks. So we see Romulan cloaks in The Balance of Terror, which... some would say is one of the best episodes of Star Trek, the original series. It's the submarine warfare, Kirk versus the Romulan commander.
Well, I thought that was Sarek.
And, it's Sarek's brother played, you know, it's the whole ancestry thing. They started it early.
Actually, if you look real closely in the background of that ship, you'll find the main character from Star Trek Discovery. She was there the whole time. We just didn't know about it. That's all.
Oh, that's right. She was adopted. So yeah. Is that her original parentage?
No, I'm being salty about that. Sorry.
Yes. Well, so the Romulan cloak, you know, it is detectable slightly, and it But again,
well, it's got to have a tailpipe.
It also has a big painted so. Bird on the ship. I think it's a little bit of a giveaway. I mean, if you're trying to hide a ship, maybe just like not just the top.
So what if it cloaked feet? Everything but the paint? So you just see this two-dimensional bird flying around well, in space.
It's a little bit of a hot rod. I mean, you know,
is that the great bird of the galaxy?
Even better, is that what how if that when rumor you started? It like instead of just making you invisible, it turned you into a giant bird. That seems like a useless cloak. I hate that idea. I wish I never said it. But.
Nope, that sounds like a Saturday morning, you know, activate bird cloak. By the power of the majestic bird.
Next, carry us forth.
So, anyway, but yeah, what do you guys think of this episode? Again, it's highly regarded in Star Trekdom. And just we get some ground rules for the cloak, like it requires a huge amount of energy. You can't, you know, shoot at the same time. You have to kind of show yourself for a moment. But you know, this is like I said, a good episode. Daniel, what are your thoughts on the Romulans and their cloak?
Well, that's a different question, but I'll answer the first
Sorry,
one
on this episode.
Yeah, go ahead. I of course this episode's great.
Okay, Philip, what are your no? Just
I don't know the background of, like, was the cloak invented specifically for this episode? Like, was that what it, or was that, like, always meant to be kind of a bigger part of the Romulan identity? Or is there always supposed to be a bad guy that could make themselves invisible or whatever? I mean, of course, it's a cool element, but I actually don't know off the top of my head whether or not it was invented for this episode and specifically for this episode.
Well,
it would be interesting to know that, but I'm not sure.
I mean, and again, I don't know the answer. But, you know, you talk about the submarine element of this, Darren. I mean, it's sort of like the silent running kind of
yeah.
thing, you know, in space. How do you silent run when you can see them? Well, okay, you have to make it so you can't see them. How you do that? You create a cloak. And so, I mean, I think it's interesting because it's sort of the metaphor or the larger a metaphor or perhaps analogy, I don't know which way I'm using it right, for the Romulans is that they're a hidden species, right? We don't know who the Romulans are because there's a cloak. Not only is it a cloak, we don't even know what they look like, but somehow we have camera drones that we can pick up what they look like in their bridge. I don't know. Basically, I think what this episode teaches you is that, you know, when you have the camera on your bridge station, like my laptop, for security reasons, and this
put it in the middle.
No. For security reasons, whether it's a Romulan ship, Starfleet, piece of tape.
Yeah,
you got to do a
yeah.
piece of
Sticky
tape
note.
Because someone can turn it on when you don't know.
You never know.
It's actually more true than I care to admit, Philip. But that's a good. We should put that in the technical manual.
Yeah, piece of tape.
Well, we also see, you know, the cloak in the Enterprise incident again, where we square off against the Romulans.
Intelligence reports that Romulans are now using Klingon technology.
Well, yes, oh, I mean, boy. yeah.
Due to a Romulan-Klingon alliance.
Yes, well, apparently maybe that went really wrong because as far as we know later, Klingons hate Romulans.
And we never find out. It's one of, here's the thing.
They don't speak about it with outsiders, Dan.
Yeah, they don't talk about it. It's one of those things that... they did it out of necessity. It was because of the model or whatever, and it's just tough to reconcile it with the rest of canon. So
well, I don't think it is.
Why don't you just make them Klingon? Well, no.
I think they could have.
No, I think it's a good story. They just never did anything with it because of that hatred. It's not like we ever go back in time and be like, oh, you know, like Enterprise Klingons hate Romulans. No, that's consistent. So there's nothing inconsistent with it. But they've never explained what happened that tore them apart
right.
as allies that had create this blood feud between the two species. So, I mean, that would be an interesting thing.
What was their Shaka when the walls fell moment? Now, also with the Romulans, you know, jumping forward several decades, we get the Scimitar.
Wow.
The Shinzons.
You just kind of skipped over
Wow, you
lot.
Just skipped everything.
Hey, we're sticking. I'm just going by species, okay?
I'm
going
to go by Romulan. Species. I mean, today. I have a warbird I could show you.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry. We'll back it up a bit. So we got
here somewhere.
Yeah, so we do have, we have the Romulan warbird, and it's actually good to point out the scout ship because that's a much smaller ship. So the fact that it can still cloak, you know, and have the power requirements is impressive as well.
Because that was also in Deep Space Nine, right?
It was.
Well, it may not have been the same scout ship class, but the one that the senator used, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The fake
Senator Greenock. No, it was a real scout ship. I don't think
it was any... It's a fake.
We hear a lot about fake scout ships these days, guys. I'm getting kind of sick of it.
So, yes. But no, you're right. We do get... this is less about the ship design, but more about the technology.
Well, but the... do we agree that at least in the known species that we know, that Romulans invented the cloak as we know it?
Yeah, I think that's basically the general consensus, and they shared it in an alliance with the Klingons, which is where they got it from.
Went wrong with that one.
Yeah, well, then we should also, and I'm going to say Khitomer, but that's not right. What is the treaty that we have with the Romulans?
The Treaty of Algernon.
Algernon.
No, but we'll get to that.
As long as you're going to bring it up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, I think that's the case. I think it's like warp drive, right? Like a lot of
species, the Ferengi just buy it.
Well, I think a lot of species have like independently developed it, but I think the Romulans are kind of at the forefront. They're the experts. Yeah. They're the ones that have been doing it the longest. They do it probably the best, I assume. I don't know. Although I guess we could talk about other people afterwards. But
well, I mean, even just to stick with the Romulans. So I mean, Enterprise. There's Minefield. I was trying to think, what's the one with the mines? It's the one called Minefield. You have cloaked mines, which I know we will see in Deep Space Nine. But as far as Romulans, they have cloaked minefields, so we can see it even on us, you know.
So they already have it on tiny ship scale as well. I mean, obviously, that doesn't have to have propulsion and weapons and other systems in it. It's just a bomb. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess that makes sense, right? If literally all you have is... some sort
a cloak,
of a giant
a cloak and a bomb
power source. You can,
and you could even make the power source the core of the bomb.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so you can know, it's share duties with
two
that.
For one, right there.
Now, of course, being an Enterprise rewatch, I guess chronologically, I would argue that there's another race that also had cloaking technology.
We'll get to the Suliban, Philip.
Oh,
okay,
wait. What order are you going in, Darren?
We are going. We're not even in an order. I'm just going by species.
Okay, so we're still in
Romulus. Species
all
together.
All right.
Yes. So the Scimitar had an amazing cloak. I mean, it could shoot while cloaked. It could fly really fast while cloaked.
I mean,
yes, you saw it for a moment, but still, like, it was... I mean, Geordi LaForge said his cloak was perfect. I mean, that's high... That's high praise. That's going on his Yelp review.
I mean, you
got to
think, if we're just talking about Enterprise, and they had that technology 200 years earlier, or whatever, at that point, close to 200 years.
I mean, that's been
years,
a long time.
You would, yeah. I mean, at
getting
some point,
from there to
yeah.
here, they've really advanced it.
I mean, yeah, why would that makes sense to me.
No, I want to see the Enterprise opening montage with just Romulan cloaking. You're not going to see a lot, admittedly, but...
No, it's just going to be pans around of nothing. Now I want to see a Romulan sailing ship cloaks, which is nothing. It's just the ocean. You know, it's like green or some other weird color. Yes, I know our ocean can be green.
Yes, because water has to be a different color.
Yes.
But it was interesting to me also that... sticking with the Scimitar, I was going to talk about the vulnerabilities of Romulan cloaks, but with the Scimitar... What I like and what I don't like. What I like is with the Scimitar, and I'm sure it's with every other ship, but of course this is Nemesis. We had a little bit of money with the movie budget. It almost seemed like there were sheets of cloak. So like when one fell down, like you still
when
had
it got hit,
other ones.
It would kind of shimmer, not shimmer, but like peel and then re-envelop. Like it felt liquid.
Yeah, because it seems like when on TV, like if you hit the cloak, the whole cloak comes out. Whereas in the Scimitar, you just hit, like, the starboard, you know, cloak, or you hit, like, the dorsal cloak or something.
Exactly.
And then, but the thing with the Scimitar that it could firewall cloak, I think that's just, like, writers going, like, we don't want to follow rules. I'm like, you know, come on now.
No, hang on. I mean, we saw in Star Trek VI, the Klingons had perfected firing. Well, not perfected.
Well, they had prototyped it.
They had prototyped it, and it worked pretty darn well.
And that was a couple hundred years
And
that
was 150 years before. Why would this not, at this point... At some point, you have to remove technological limitations. That's just how it works. That's why when you jump forward, you set new rules, because that's why we reset the warp factor. Because you have then developed new ways to do things. And if you have this technology all this time, well, the power sources are going to get better and better over time. So it's going to get smaller and it's going to get easier to produce. And then at some point, it's going to be like, okay, why can't we just shoot?
It's Fechlar's law, okay? Everything gets better
power
twice as fast. The power requirement.
And since the Nemesis is the last thing we've seen regarding cloaking technology in canon, it makes sense that they'd perfected it at that point.
Yeah. I just feel like, I mean, I'm not necessarily arguing that there can be advancements, but I'm also like, at some point, you just become all powerful. And also, it's weird because using your six example, I know it's not Roman, so I won't talk about it. But anyway, scimitar.
Well, no, we next is Klingon. Okay,
well, I was
going to
say
transition.
The scimitar is huge, like huge. It's like one of the biggest ships we see in a
It dwarfs.
Mainstream...
I mean, all Romulan ships are big. Like the
but
Warbird
this is really
dwarfs
big.
The Enterprise D.
I mean, you may think Romulan ships are big, but oh, sorry,
you have no idea how vast, incredibly huge they
I'm
are.
Curious how big it is next to.
I mean, like because like you go with the Klingon bird of prey in six. I mean, that's a bird of prey. They're not that big in the grand scheme of things. That's a prototype.
Even the larger class, because there are two classes.
Yeah.
But with the scimitar, I mean, like, is that the only one that existed? You know, and then
I believe so.
Because that seems like a bad prototype to go big. Go small prototype. And then...
Well, it's an Earth killer. Is what it's built for.
But anyway.
So yeah, but no, like you said, we've seen the shooting wall cloak technology in Star Trek VI. Great, story device there. And again, just kind of like the scimitar, when it does fire, you do see it for a brief moment. I mean, the effects budget obviously wasn't quite the same in the technology as, you know, Star Trek Nemesis, but still, except for that poor tailpipe, that fatal flaw led to its downfall.
You're going to do something separate with this. But the Romulans are the one who have an explicit treaty with the Federation regarding cloaking.
Yeah, we could talk about that. So, in the 24th century, the Federation, protected its borders and...
The neutral zone.
Back in... Yeah, the neutral zone. And so in 2311, we have the Treaty of Algeron. And that's where basically the Federation agreed to not develop or use cloaking technology. And also, you know, the Bajoran provisional government would outlaw cloaking devices as well, which it's like, well,
good thing
one's
we didn't...
the Federation, one's the Bajoran provisional government. Not quite the same.
But of course, I think it's an interesting concept, and so if you go with it, and I think you can, even though it seems like a...
Kind of the arms race-ness.
Yeah, it seems like a big chip, but, you know, it's a chip you're going to have to use every now and then, so... If the Federation just said, hey, we're going to use this because we really want peace. But then I think the cool part of that is and they never explored it. And I mean, I get they did it. But Deep Space Nine, when they started the Defiant, I know we're not in Starfleet, but when they had the Romulan officer on board in order not to abrogate or violate the treaty on the Defiant, I think that was cool.
Yeah, it was a nice out.
It was cool. The treaty's stupid and really dumb.
Well... But think of it, the alternative. So, yes, you're like Philip said, you're playing this huge chip saying we're not going to develop this pretty powerful and important, you know, weapons platform. But by getting peace, one, you don't really need it. And two, what would be the social cost of now getting into a literal arms race with cloaking technology against the Romulans, who already are leaps and bounds ahead of the Federation.
The cloaking device is not an offensive weapon, though. It's a defensive weapon.
If you can cloak while fire, Daniel, it's
okay,
an offensive weapon.
Presumably during the treaty.
A minefield.
You can use it in conjunction. Of course, you can use it to hurt someone, but you can't directly hurt someone with a cloak.
Mm-hmm.
I guess unless you run your ship into them and they're not aware you're there.
I mean,
it's not an offensive technology. It's defensive. It's a stealth technology. It helps you. It can definitely help you to harm others.
But yes, our stealth bombers are defensive.
But they're also bombers. They were just stealth, then they would not be able to hurt anyone.
Right. But that's
if
the thing.
A stealth reconnaissance drone, you are not an offensive weapon. You are a tool.
Right.
So
no, I understand that. But so, I'm saying, though, if you have a Romulan warbird that can cloak and then go into Earth orbit,
Yeah,
like that's why would, yes, that's a first strike weapon.
I mean, there's peaceful reasons you'd want a cloak. Like, oh, we just want to have a bunch of surprise parties and don't want you to know about
it. We're really private. Like, we really don't like people looking at our ships.
So I just watched Who Watches the Watchers the other day.
Ugh.
By the way,
Star Wars, Darren.
The Federation does have apparently some level of cloaking technology because the duck blind
that's
is
hologram. Or holographic.
That's hologram.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Oh, yeah. By the way, what's the difference? Anyways, I mean, if you could provide a holographic, would that be skirting the
treaty? One is
treaty?
Against the treaty and one is not.
Well, no. It's interesting.
No, I know what you're saying, though. Yeah.
I mean, and this isn't talked about, maybe because it's not. But anyway, so Insurrection. I know we don't.
Wait, just 1 second. And now I'm picturing like Picard being like, "Oh yeah, no," or Pressman. He's like, "We didn't make a cloak. We're just holographically projecting the stars behind us in front of us."
Isn't that
totally
the exact same technology? It is the exact same technology.
Well,
anyways,
no, you said duck blind, Daniel, and maybe you're right. Onto something because in Insurrection, we have cloaking suits.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, those.
Now, maybe it's because we were
cloaks.
In a Romulan alliance, because that was during the Dominion War. So that may have been.
But okay.
But that was being used for peaceful purposes, I suppose.
You're right. I had forgotten about the isolation suits.
Yeah. But I do want to stick on this point just for a minute, because I think the treaty is totally one-sided, and there's no reason the Federation would have ever signed this.
Isn't that a great deal, Daniel?
Isn't
that great, Pressman?
I mean,
Daniel.
So much better deals. Trust me, I'm going to make the best deals.
Oh,
the
Lord.
Biggest deal. No, seriously, it is a terrible, terrible deal for the Federation. I don't think they would have signed it because it puts them at a severe a tremendous disadvantage for no. I mean, yeah, peace is nice, I guess, but it's like we're not. But Romulans aren't the only one.
Peace is okay. It's a little overrated.
I mean, it's Romulans, like, you know, managing the environment and economy. I mean, they're equal, right? I mean, what's
And first of all, we know, and we'll talk about it later, I'm sure. It's not like we stopped. And
true.
And it
I
doesn't
was talking about that, Daniel.
It's just I don't know. I think so the actual reason that the Federation doesn't use cloaking technology is because Jean said that that the Federation wouldn't use something so deceptive.
Yeah, cowardly. It's like a sneak attack.
Right. Again.
Yet the Klingons use it all the time.
Exactly.
And they're
so
cowards.
I think there is... Get off my bridge.
Yeah. I would kill you where you stand.
I just think... I get what he's saying. Like, it makes sense... With the Star Trek idealism and optimism, in universe it does not make sense to me, and I think it's dumb, and I think it certainly would, maybe that they would sign that treaty, it would not last for 50 years, it would not last for 100 years. They're gonna be falling further and further behind every other superpower.
Well, I would say. A modern day analogy,
which they kind of do.
Yeah, I would say,
like, they get their butts kicked by the Borg and other major powers later, and I'm sure if they had a cloak, that would probably help.
I would say the modern analogy would be
didn't help the Defiant.
Would be a nuclear power, right? So America, yeah. I mean, other yeah. nations too, but America has an interest. Like, pretend they're the Romulans for a second. To say, yes, we have this technology, but we don't want you to have it, and we're willing to give you whatever you want. Not to promise not to develop nuclear capabilities, or at least nuclear weapon capabilities, like the Federation would be. And so maybe the Romulans, you know, were like, we'll give you XYZ.
But we're going
to
use it to build power plants, Philip, not cloak ships.
So, I mean, it could be the Romulan interest to give the Federation, like, we don't know what the Federation
but
got
what,
out of this other than peace. Like, they could have gotten, like...
Right. Hopefully they got something
well,
a little more than just
Well, it could have been Romulans
peace.
Were like, we're going to go back to our old borders. You won't hear from us in 50 years.
Mm. So they got space land.
Yeah,
and...
no. That, I don't... Okay. Okay.
Cloak for peace. Cloak for peace. Cloak for peace. No blood for cloak. No blood for cloak.
It would ultimately be an equalizer anyways. Mm-hmm. The Federation doesn't gain anything more than anybody else at that point if they have the cloaking technology and everyone else does as well. At that point, okay, so what? Now everybody has it. We're just going to be flying around
mutually
blind all
the time.
Mutually
assured cloaking.
Yeah. But the Federation is put at a distinct disadvantage in this like arms hardcore race. Disadvantage for at least 100 years, as far as we know in canon.
I think 70 years, wow. I think something Picard like says. But still, that's a long time.
And there's no way. So, there's just no
so
way.
What should we do, Admiral Pressman?
Well, they just wouldn't have signed that treaty, that's all. Anyway, sorry, that's my...
No, that's a good point.
That's my rant about it, but...
Well, the other... Yeah, so that's... There's the Romulans. We can do... we'll just quickly touch on the Suliban.
Well,
like
did we really do the Klingons, though?
Well, I mean, okay, the Klingons, I mean, they have the prototype. They have, you know, Bird of Preys and Vorcha classes, and... But, I mean, it's pretty...
But what do we think about staple. Y'all mentioned this in jest, but I think there's a serious discussion to be had here. Isn't it cowardly to use a cloak? Is that a warrior's weapon?
I guess it's just in the eye of the beholder.
I don't know. That's like saying, is it cowardly to use camouflage? I don't.
Klingons don't use camouflage.
Is that true?
Well, think of it this
way,
though. Is it cowardly to use camouflage?
I wish they could camouflage the smell.
Well, they could, you know, everything on their planet could be ginormous, so 8-7 feet wouldn't be that impressive.
Well, I think of it this way, though, Daniel. It's like, would it be dishonorable to use camouflage if your, it's not a perfect analogy, but like if your opponent could not? Because that's the thing with cloaks. It's like, yeah, the Klingons are using it, but the Federation does not have that technology. So actually, the Klingons benefit as well from the stupid treaty of Alderaan.
You notice we don't have a treaty with the Klingons. But anyway. Well, at least with cloaks.
Well, we have a general non-aggression pact. Yeah. I mean, at least in Picard's time.
Because it seems to me that and this isn't a Klingon episode discussion, but the Klingons in TOS are much more devious. And I don't mean that in a negative way necessarily. But they're a little bit more sneaky, devious.
Half the quadrant knows it.
Yeah. But, like, instead, when we get the reinvention, I'm not saying that necessarily in an ugly way, but the reinvention of the Klingons and TNG, that's when we get the warrior, you know, blah, 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 blah. So maybe as a culture, we can say they change. Because you notice they don't use it in. Well, I guess they do. Like, I guess they do. I was going to say they don't have it in all their ships. That's not true. We've never seen a Klingon ship that doesn't have a cloak in the 24th century, but.
Nope.
Yeah, so
that's true.
I think it's just a tool of war.
But no, I think I see your point though. Of it does seem that'd be interesting. See again, maybe who knows? Maybe that's something Discovery will go into. Is like there's certain factions of the Klingon Empire that don't use cloaks because they feel it's dishonorable.
Is this like sort of like the what's the word I'm looking for? Not hippie Klingons, but anyway, you know, like. We don't.
No, never a hippie Klingon.
No.
That's
like,
you can't
we
say
don't.
That.
We don't use cloaks. That's not what we do.
What would a Klingon Herbert
hipster,
be called?
Hipster Klingons.
Hipster Klingons. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
I don't want to picture a hipster Klingon. Okay, Phil.
Well, I mean, they're listening to some Klingon opera artists you've never heard of. it's like Starbucks with blood wine is what I'm trying to think of. But anyway, I mean, wouldn't it be Starbucks? Of course, it'd be a local organic sourced blood wine.
Catching your opponent by surprise is not dishonorable.
Wouldn't it, when you want to look him in the eyes as you...
I think honor's dishonor is very subjective
well,
in a Klingon
is,
species.
But...
Yeah.
Okay, well, moving past our Klingon brethren, we have the Suliban, who, you know, they got their cloaking technology from the 28th century, so that's kind of
cheap. Do we know that?
Yes, we do.
Wait, are we talking about the fact that they can turn invisible?
No,
we're talking about the cell ships
okay, gotcha.
Cloak.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the cell ships. Okay, sorry.
Because I don't think the actual ships. Oh lordy, I feel like I can say this. I've been watching season one too. I don't think they're larger ships, which you usually don't see much of. But there was one or two.
We mostly just
see
the cell
like
ships.
Bigger ship. I don't think that can cloak. I think it is just the cell ships.
Yeah. It's because, again, it's like a reconnaissance spy espionage ship.
And that apparently you can get the cloak on your hand and you can lose an arm like Trip did. So.
That sounds like a great plot point, Philip. I really want to see that in an episode. All right. So, yeah. So we do want to touch on that. And like Philip brought up, you have the Jem'Hadar who... I don't recall them having cloaks on their ships, they cloak their... They're people. It's been a while since I've watched some DS9, so okay. That makes sense. That makes more sense. But yeah, but having a personal cloak...
I feel like you're talking about like Star Trek 4. Cloaked ships, sir? No, cloaked people.
Yeah, I mean... Now, and they really are cloaked, because it's kind of like a predator. like from the movie Predator.
And then I guess they don't consider it cowardly. I mean, the Jem'Hadar are a very warrior species as well. I mean,
that's true. Of course, they were also told to do it by the founders, so yes. they're not going to complain.
But when they attack, they uncloaked. I mean, they could just kill you cloaked, but they don't.
That's true. That's
you know what it is? Okay. They can't stab while cloaked, just like a ship. They have to.
Yeah.
So
That's exactly the same thing.
I looked it up because I was curious, because it never seemed... I thought it was just like part of their genetic engineering or innate abilities.
Is something they wear?
I would imagine.
No, it says... this is what Memory Alpha says. They were designed to have excellent blah, blah, blah. We don't care about that. They also had the ability to shroud themselves, a form of camouflage that acted as a personal cloaking field. So I don't think it's a technology. I think it's like an ability.
Like a biotech?
Yeah, some sort of an ability that chameleon. Was engineered into them.
Yeah, that's true. Although their clothes chameleon as well.
Well, yeah, that's just one of those things. You have two choices. Either they can cloak their clothes, or they run around rookies. Naked all the time.
Yeah. So.
Wait a minute, maybe they are naked.
That's true. Maybe their clothes are. They don't reproduce, so there's nothing to hide. I guess. Yeah, that makes sense. Here we go. So it says only the most observant individuals could see this.
It's called the Ken doll cloak.
Well, isn't? I mean, and this is where this is the general discussion of cloaking, where we play fast and loose, and it's fine. And I guess don't think about it too much, unless we do want to think about it too much. Like, how do you see a cloak? And I know that, yeah, you don't. But no, but you do, of course.
Right.
And I think there's times we play fast and loose with you can. Okay, so most of the time you can't see a cloak, right? But then the parts when you can. So, like, Star Trek 3 jumps out at me. So, when the Enterprise is around Genesis, I'll wait for it. Sulu and Kirk are like, what's that shimmery thing right there? And it's like, probably some sort of energy field. Like a cloak? And like, so, you know, there are times you can't see
right.
it. And then there's, I remember in The Defector in The Next Generation, I think there's when there's the alleged secret base, I think, you know, Picard or someone says, you know, couldn't they just cloak it? Or maybe Riker asked that, and Data's like, well, then there'd be a shimmering effect or something that you could see it on the planet or something.
So, right, like it's easier to cloak a ship in space than it is something on a planet.
But it's to me a surprise of, and we could even talk about cloak detection, but just visually seeing it, you know, times when characters can see the cloak and sometimes when they cannot see the cloak.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all plot driven, of course, because it really depends on how you define what a cloak is. Is it just the visual aspect of it? Because if that's the case, if it's literally just being able to
usually
not
it's, see yeah, it. It's that plus like things on the electromagnetic spectrum,
exactly.
Things on, you know, sensors. Because, yeah, otherwise, you know, we just have Geordi LaForge look out the window. He's like, hey, guys, there's a cloaked ship right there. I can totally see it.
Or, you know, to the ship's sensors, there's almost no difference. It's not like I don't think the ship probably does have some form of, like, visual scanning range. But I imagine 99% of its scanners don't scan for anything on the visual range.
Aren't optical.
Yeah, yeah, so. I don't know.
They're not analog.
I'm trying to remember. Something's clicking in my mind, but I can't remember where that happened, like, we're cloaked, but unless they go out and look out a window, they won't see us or something. But I don't know. It's from 50 years worth of Star Trek. There's something
somewhere. I think maybe it was like a partial cloak. Like it was from the sensors, but not visually. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But that's very rarely how they portray the cloak.
A balance of
terror? Balance of terror?
Wasn't it like if we get close enough, we could see them or something? Like, I can't remember.
Maybe
they had energy signatures that they could pick up, and that's what they backed away from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's so, yeah, at that point, it wasn't as refined.
And to me, they playing fast and loose with cloak detection, because it is, I mean, it makes as sense in as much as...
Everyone knows you use a tachyon beam. That's just common knowledge.
But to me, that does show the reason, too, that, you know, even though we can't see it, cloaking technology has advanced because, you know, how can you see it cloaked more? You know, I don't know. But, you know, because we know in
right.
Balance of Terror...
Less things can detect it.
Right, Balance of Terror, they can somewhat find it. And then in the Enterprise incident, which we kind of sort of talked about, not really, I suppose, which is still the Romulans, you know, the Federation steals a cloaking device, so theoretically you would think we learned some things from it.
That'd be cool if, like, a novel talks about that being the genesis of the Pegasus prototype.
Pegasus?
Because I could see that.
Because then we seem to go back to, at least in the TOS movies, of like, oh, how could you detect a Klingon cloak unless you look at in Star Trek 3. But then, of course, Star Trek 6, again, introduces the concept. And so do we argue that the prototype Klingon Bird of Prey was just a story aberration and, like, we forgot about it? Or do we have some sort of headcanon of why they didn't work after Star Trek 6?
I assume it's...
Well, you also have to... I was just going to say, like, you also have to remember they do specifically name it as the prototype. And yes, while you could technically make more, it makes me think of, you know, inherently when you have something that's a prototype, it's only been built once. And it just everything happens to align and be properly calibrated to do what it's meant to do. And that could be very difficult to replicate. Like, they obviously haven't figured out a way to mass produce that technology into the other warbirds,
or hide the,
so I'm not
or hide the plasma.
Yeah, that
yeah.
Just,
and it failed, so it's like.
Well, I mean
it was destroyed.
It did and it didn't. I mean, it was successful up until it was destroyed by torpedoes. So, I mean, it could have been, even if it's slightly detectable, it's still also very successful because unless you know what you're looking for all the time.
Portion of the Klingon High Council only knows about it. Like, yeah. It was a splinter faction of Klingons that built it anyway.
That's what I was... The way I would justify it would be to say maybe, like, the development facility was on Praxis or something.
In the Klingon solar system, guys, there's this big planet, and they were hiding the construction of the secret...
So only three people knew about it.
A big black box. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
But then, like, you have... I'm blanking on the name, but
that's a vengeance joke.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. But you have the unification parts 1 and 2, or at least part 2. Where was the one with Data?
Yeah, that's unification 1 and 2, where
he's in every
on
episode.
Romulus.
No, the one where he was.
Well, he's on Romulus. Yeah.
No, the one where he was in command of the Sutherland.
Oh yes,
that was the Klingon
of man.
No. It was Klingons. It was Redemption.
Redemption Part 2.
Yes. Sorry. I was messing up my Klingon Romulan storyline two-parters.
Yeah. He works on making a gravitic sensor net.
Yeah, but the whole fleet
Forge helps deploy.
Yeah, the whole fleet though has a sort of like super net sensor net to detect Romulan cloaked ships. But of course, it's not something you do all the time, I guess theoretically. But anyway, I guess my point is that we always sort of create for the stories. Oh, we can detect them now, and then. Next series, we can't.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, that's why when I see, you know, it's like yes, I like Star Trek, I like science fiction, and I like knowing how things work, but I'm okay with certain parts of the story not, like, I don't want a super accurate technical manual of a cloak and how, what it can and can't do. Like, the writers would be dumb to put themselves in a box like that, you know, so it makes sense to keep some things nebulous.
The Mutari Nebula, maybe?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or nebulae.
Cloaks can't work in there, I'm sure.
No, nothing seems to work in there.
Now, moving on to Federation cloaks. I know. This is a level 6 clearance, the rest of this podcast. But obviously we get, you know, the great Star Trek episode Pegasus with Admiral Pressman, who has... You know, we learned that Riker knew about it. Everyone knows about
Ensign
it.
Ensign Babyface.
So, yeah, this is basically a rogue group of
the
Federation. Yeah, making a prototype cloak. But it was even cooler because it was an interphasic cloak that could go through solid matter. So you could hide in a planet, which sounds crazy. But, yeah, this cloak was really, really advanced considering... The Federation developed it. Like, you'd almost think, like, they stole it from the Romulans again. That makes more sense.
The interphasic is a very interesting concept. I mean, it'd be kind of scary as hell. I mean, you know, like, we're just going to go fly through the asteroid.
Hope it doesn't fail.
You're like, oh, what's this, you know, what's it look like when the rocks, you know, asteroids coming through?
Well, we saw.
Yeah, we did.
That's freaky, though.
But still, yeah.
I mean, like...
Yeah, it's like we're going to chill in the core of a planet, because that's... Good for the ship.
I mean, like, what would you literally see as like a person?
You would see nothing because there's no light on the inside of an object. So I don't know. It would just be black, I assume.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's also boring. But
it is boring, which is why they didn't do it. This is one of those times where Star Trek breaks itself because If you had this technology, it would make Star Trek super boring to watch. Nobody would ever be able to shoot at anybody else. Nothing interesting would happen. You'd just be able to float through everything, and it'd be just kind of boring.
Let's just interface all the Federation, and then no one else can touch us. And
yeah, it's a little too much. So it's good that they didn't go back to it. But it's also the same thing with the Star Trek VI, Bird of Prey, where it's like look, yeah, these quote-unquote prototypes make great stories, but then you have to deal with the fallout. Because if you have developed this technology, even if it doesn't work, this is the thing.
You can't undevelop the technology.
Yes. Like it's like Star Trek writers don't know about the development of new technologies, because it's like, oh, it didn't work once. Everybody just gives up on it, throws the book in the closet.
It's like how we don't use time travel in the 24th century. We use the hell out of it in the 23rd.
Yeah. Like, the one time that I think that they do a really good job of something like that is the eugenics stuff. Because supposedly, you know, it got so bad that we banned. And in canon reason, that we could do this stuff, but we don't. We learned our lesson the hard way, and we don't do it. Right. Other than that, like, it's like, no, hey, if we could have this interphase technology, it would be done. But the Borg couldn't touch us. Nobody could touch us.
But, I mean...
And then they'd assimilate it, and we'd all be screwed.
Well, they get a hold of one person that knows what they're doing. Yeah,
how come the Borg don't have a cloak? They've assimilated the Romulans.
They don't need a cloak.
They don't need it, yeah. That's what I was thinking, too.
Well, they haven't won using anything else, so I'm just throwing that up.
They lack three-dimensional thinking.
This episode, though, is cool just because we can see the Enterprise-D cloak. I mean, that's really all I wanted to see.
That's true, yeah. And I have that listed down, the Enterprise-D, All Good Things, Future Enterprise, with the three nacelles, that extra warp core or something to power a cloak, something like that. But using that Z-axis like a boss.
Too many missiles. Well, yeah. And
how dare you say that? Dave?
Down with odd missile ships.
Okay, that down I get. That I get.
I mean, I'm a little disappointed that All Good Things Future. I mean, not that I want Troy to die, but that. The concept, at least, of what happened doesn't have to be the individual pathways, sort of was negated, that, you know, because you...
I forget. Could the Enterprise decloak in yesterday's Enterprise in the alternate future?
No, I don't think so.
No. I mean, it was...
Because that makes sense if they would develop that technology if they were fighting the Klingons.
Well, I think they were getting their butts kicked so much they didn't have time to develop it.
Oh. They used to be artists and poets and scientists, Philip.
So besides the whole... You know, we promised not to develop this. The one other problem with having widespread cloaking technology, and it's not only the Romulans and the Klingons that have it, although those are big aspects of it. Even if the Federation was the only people who were like, no, like the Ferengi would have it, everybody else would have it because you could either salvage or buy it. I mean, it would be super readily available, at least crude versions of it. And it's not. So it's kind of silly to me that... Because even some of these,
like any other commodity, you would see it way more.
Yes, exactly.
That's like no one has phasers. It's like, oh, we outlawed phasers. We can use torpedoes, but we can't use phasers. And it's like the Federation doesn't use phasers because who knows?
Well, we don't use trilithium devices, and we don't use that weapon that the Sony used. So you know.
Oh yeah,
and we don't use Kevin.
He knows what he did.
So, yes, well, also in the Federation, we have the Defiant, like we mentioned. So maybe this is how we get back to them. We say, yeah,
now, the Defiant,
put a person on our ship, and we'll only use it in the Gamma Quadrant.
It's
and then
prototype,
we break that
though.
Rule
it's a prototype.
Way later.
Yes.
That's always our loophole, is it's a prototype.
Is the second one an NX? I don't remember.
Yes, because it's stupid.
It is stupid.
Wait,
they
didn't
agree.
Make
I
that
totally
an NCC?
It is stupid.
Ah, that's so dumb.
Yes. I mean,
just because they don't really still want to remake the model.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Sao Paulo, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, is turned into...
Was not an NX.
NX 74. I'm reading it because I have the ship in front of me.
Oh, they gave it the same register number?
They literally... Yeah. Like, it's pointless.
And no B?
Or A or anything. Like,
or A or anything. Gosh, that's
yeah, it's
crazy.
Stupid. I mean,
I agree. I agree.
Like, look, I mean, I will if you want to. And again, I'm not the biggest Deep Space Nine fan, so I'm probably not the wrong person to ask. But if you're going to blow up the Defiant and then give it back to the crew, like with two episodes left for some bizarre reason, that's fine. But make it the Defiant A. That's fine. I could Daniel would still hate it, but I would get that. I would be like, okay, I see what you did. You just gave it the ship. You put the A on it. Ha ha. We all like that. But not just like, nah, it's the same thing. Like it never happened.
Yep.
Well, then why did we blow it up?
It basically negates. Yeah. That's the problem. There's no cost.
Yeah.
It's like, well, good thing we had this other one just sitting right here. Ready for you.
I am loving this Defiant hate that's going on in this episode. This is good.
Well, we've been cloaking it until now, so.
Yeah.
Well, in DS9, we also have the self-replicating mines.
Yes.
Which are really small. At least
developed
they seem to be.
By a ROM. A Ferengi is what I was going to say.
I like the statement better. By a ROM.
Well, also because Ferengi and cloaking devices also makes for one of my favorite scenes in Deep Space Nine. Oh, in the I guess that is
Emperor's new cloak.
The Mirror Universe where you have Quark and ROM holding the invisible cloaking device.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually, Philip, you mentioned earlier, and it is something to bring up here, where, you know, Deep Space Nine doesn't drop the ball like this very often, but with the Romulan officer, the overseer, with the cloaking device, that was a really cool kind of concept in the beginning, and then she just disappears after two episodes or whatever, and it's gone. And then, but then we still have free reign over the cloaking device, and it's stupid. So
how cool would that have been if she was like a literally a new member of the core cast?
I mean, like, we've probably talked about it, but she doesn't even have to be a core member, but she could just be the person that's always there,
like Garrick level.
Yeah,
like Garrick's a secondary
Morn level.
She didn't even have to talk. Yeah. She's just always sitting by the cloaking device or whatever.
Yeah. Where everybody cloaks your shit.
So at this point, you know, in the show, they've abandoned that. Not only have they abandoned that, like, ROM understands the intricacies of cloaking
devices.
Look,
he's really smart.
I get it.
But is it... I mean, shouldn't it still be super classified and super restricted? And, like, he's not even... He never joins Starfleet.
Well,
no, ROM's never a part of Starfleet.
But he's a member of the engineering team.
But that, okay. So, but he's literally never taken the oath.
Because
or,
who's in charge of the engineering team? And who's chief engineer of the Defiant? And what does the Defiant have? You don't think Chief O'Brien's giving cloaking reverse engineering classes, seminars on the weekends?
He certainly shouldn't be. I would think that would be treasonous, but I guess maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
I mean,
about.
Since the last time he had an infraction on his record, he was stuck in virtual prison for 50 years. I mean, that guy better watch his back.
ROM is not even a member of the Federation. Like, he doesn't even... He is so far beyond who should be getting these secrets.
Now, Daniel,
it's crazy.
I know you hate the Bajoran militia, but they are our partners on Deep Space Nine.
ROM is not part of the... I guess he's part of the...
It's either one or the other.
He's part of the organization, maybe, but he certainly
isn't... No, he's part of the Bajoran militia. Like, I mean, that's what they're called. They're not all infantrymen.
Right, but is he the only non-Bajoran?
He's a deputy.
I think so. I would say
besides
yes.
Odo? I guess Odo probably would count as well. So I don't know how that
he's
works.
He's got the ridge nose, so he's halfway there.
He's married to a Bajoran. So, you know.
He's been naturalized. Okay.
That would be interesting. Well, he can't.
He's
been
naturalized.
No, he can't because he can't give up his Ferengi citizenship because he's the Grand Nagus.
Oh, gosh.
So not only are we giving away... Are we giving away State Federation secrets?
So now the Grand Nagus
has cloaking.
What have we done? Brian, what did you do?
Now the Romulans are going to never trust us again. There's no way.
So we gave this to you guys with specific instructions not to take it out of the wrapper and not to share it with anybody. And you basically gave it to the leader
of the
Federation.
No,
I can see how the discussion goes. Like, okay, so, you know, the Romulan liaison officer, they're giving him or her the...
They're sitting in the wardroom.
Yeah, they're giving her the brief, you know, Chief O'Brien or Sisko probably, because he doesn't, you know, he's like, so...
They're kind of like staring like...
So we leaked it. We did tell some of our personnel, and she's like, this is an outrage. Like, no, don't worry. The person at the time was the third shift plasma call cleaner.
Yeah. Well, why would you?
Funny, it's a little awkward.
Bad news. It's kind of a bit of good news, bad news.
And so she's like, good news. Oh, well, that's a relief.
It's probably, only one person. Bad news.
Funny
he's
story.
He's now the Grand Nagus of the Federation of the Ferengi Alliance.
One of the most corrupt.
What?
morally bankrupt organizations that you could think of.
Well,
at least
he doesn't understand the technology. Well, he actually developed his own self-replicating mind system. But I mean, I'm sure he's not going to use that against
him.
I mean,
here's the thing. They
kept away the Dominion, but it probably won't be a big deal.
They have only worked for the betterment of their bank account. So I swear nothing bad could possibly happen.
And she's like freaking out. And then Cisco's like, no, but he's stupid. Wait, that doesn't make you feel better, does it?
silly. Very silly.
This has all been a joke.
Joke with a humor, a story with a humorous climax.
Yes, this is a story. How did Spock put it? A story with a humorous climax. Yeah. Okay, I really want to see that scene now because that's gonna be. That's just she's turning more and more green as they're discussing that, and then at the end she's just furious. Although
that's
I'm trying to remember, did they ever explain why that liaison just disappears and is just gone? All
no,
of a sudden?
They never.
It was
they
actually,
never talk
it
about
was it Seska. It was a recognizable actress. It was Seska, guys. You think I'm making things up?
Oh, was it really
it was Seska?
Seska?
Yes. I mean, wow. It's the whatever the actress's name is. But yes.
Right. Just Seska.
Yes. I think it's just Seska, yeah. It's like Madonna. What I was going to say was that whole scene where, it's Sisko sitting in a room with, well, not Sisko, but whoever sitting in a room with the Romulan lady. That was the scene right before the Romulan council scene in Nemesis, which explains what Shinzon was just like, okay, that's it. I'm done with this nonsense.
Let's just burn it all
kills
to the ground.
Everybody in the room. Yeah.
No, I can see that. She's like, she gets that report. She's like, all right. I have to go report this to the Senate. It takes a while to get to Romulus. And so she's arriving in the Senate chamber, and she's like, they're in session. I'll sit in the back. I'll wait till they're done. Hey, why is that one woman leaving? That's kind of rude. Oh, well.
Well, gentlemen, that has been a fun tour de force on an amazing technology. Will we see cloaking Klingons in Discovery? I'm pretty sure we will. I'm pretty sure we see it in the trailer. Either they're dropping out of warp or decloaking or something's happening.
Well, no, but I think it's, and I mean, I'm not trying to get on a tangent. I think that's sort of the JJ warp effect that I'm not a fan of because it seems
where they snap out of it.
Well, it seems, I don't have a problem with how it looks. I have a problem that short range sensors don't exist in JJ verse. It's sort of like,
oh, it's like all of a sudden you're just
boom.
There.
I'm like, oh, hey, where'd these ships come from? I'm like, maybe if you turned on a sensor array, you might find out. Anyway.
Yeah. Just build a wall, and they'll all smash into it.
Oh, build a wall, Darren. That's
oh,
your
here
answer.
We go, Darren. Oh,
man.
On the wall talk. We need to end
no,
the show.
No, it's going
to
be a self-replicating cloaked mine wall.
A self-replicating wall.
A cloaked mine wall.
It would be like a beautiful wall if you could see it.
That's basically what Rom does. And look, and then he becomes the Grand Nagus. I think I'm seeing a few too many parallels here in Star Trek. It's before its time. Oh, well, Philip, if someone wanted to talk to you about your Ensign Babyface days, where would they find you?
Oh, they could find me on Twitter at handle NC Public Servant. That's NC for no cloak.
And Daniel, if someone wanted to talk to you about the joys of the Negus who would be cloaked, where would they find you?
They could find me on Twitter at 1UpDan. That is the number one, as in the Federation is number one, so no more bad treaties.
Wait, so Federation
first?
I'm sending
a treaty episode in the
future. Federation first,
oh, gosh. why do you have this red ball cap on, Daniel?
There are way too,
it's part of Enterprise. We still wear baseball caps in the Enterprise era. So.
Well, if someone wanted to talk to me about getting political or not in Star Trek, it's just going to happen, guys. They can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi. Well, it's been a lot of fun talking about cloaks. I think it's time for us to disappear. I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.